Welcome to MDA Insights, the podcast where we bring you the latest in training and development trends straight from the experts at MDA Training.
Episode 20 takes us further into our conversation with Bhavna Dalal, a renowned author, coach, and TEDx speaker with an impressive experience that spans over 25 years. Join us for part two, Mastering the Art of Influencing Others.
Influence is such a critical skill, yet can be so elusive. So, 30 seconds. How can I learn, particularly somebody relatively new in an organization, how can I learn to build trust or influence in a very early stage in my career? What do I need to do?
A lot of people are really good at it naturally, right? So trust and influence are two different things. To build trust, what you need to do is first, I'll tell you the cognitive ways and then I can tell you how you can do it in a subtler way. But basically, to build trust, you have to listen to people actively. You have to ask open-ended questions. All right. You have to focus the conversation on them and not on yourself. Keep judgment at bay. What is trust after all? Trust is when someone believes that you have their best interest at heart. They trust you, right? So you have to communicate that. And how do you communicate that? By first listening to them, understanding what they're saying, listening to their fears and their deeper aspirations, which even they may not be aware of. The other way to build trust, which is taught in NLP and all of these other different methodologies, the non-verbal tricks, all of that, for lack of better words, is mirroring. Mirroring is a great way. Because at that energy level, you're kind of thinking together. They say that when people are fighting and when couples are fighting and not getting along, sometimes just sleeping in the same room, breathing together, just bringing your breath in sync leads to resolving a lot of problems, or to getting aligned. So there are a lot of subtler ways in which you can build trust. The second was influence, right?
How do you build influence from an early stage?
So from an early stage, right? What I believe is if you can influence yourself, you can influence your own life to a large extent. Don't even start by trying to influence others, right? Start there. So once you start doing that, you start noticing, if you're young, say for example, young in your career, start noticing how the senior leaders are influencing. What are they doing? Start with observing that. For yourself, look, leadership is not a corporate world. Look at leaders like Mother Teresa or Gandhi. They're all considered to be leaders, right? But they're not in the corporate world. It's just that we need leadership at every level, in every area of life, especially in the corporate environment, for companies to thrive and succeed and do well. So you can be of any age, entry level. Those are not barriers. We come across young leaders in school, where everyone takes notice of them and they're like, oh, how does this kid do that? So it's not only associated with the CXO level layer. Management may be, all of these other words, but if you notice, leadership is more all-encompassing.
It's interesting. I should maybe try some of your techniques. You say it's not a corporate thing, but maybe I need to be reading up on some of your stuff to apply at home. But in this day and age, a lot of influence now takes place, online. I know it's a different context, but the word influencer, that wasn't around, 5-10 years ago. It wasn't something that we ever considered, was it, in the social media? What's your take on all of that? Because a lot of people get influenced by what they see online. How do you sort of see, that obviously impacts how people approach what they do in the corporate world and at home and all sorts?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tip I give to a lot of my folks, to try out these practices with their families first, because that's a safer zone, right? So even, if the family's trying to decide where to go on holiday, you can influence them into sort of maneuvering them into where you would like them to go, which would be, you have to remember, influencing is a win-win-win attitude. Manipulation, persuasion, all of that is definitely not. So if you know where it would serve everyone best to go, you can try to influence in there. And in these other modalities, somebody loses. You have to keep that in mind. And secondly, why do we call those social media influencers influencers, right? These are people who have X million followers. They are called influencers because people want to follow them. And why do we want to follow them? We want to follow them because we are getting something that they are offering, right? If it's something that we are gaining, and that's why we are doing the work to provide that to us. So we are following them for that. So at the end of it, influence is about giving people what they need. It starts with that. And it goes back to right at the start, a win-win. They're winning because they have the followers, but then other people feel like they're winning because they're getting some knowledge that they are finding useful in their lives. So it goes hand in hand. Yes, it could be knowledge, entertainment, know-how. So there's so many different things, because I follow a broad range of people, and there are so many different things that the different personalities within me seeks. In fact, I have different Instagram accounts because I wanted to kind of understand all of that. If you want me to translate that into the corporate world, you know, there's a big gap, and people don't really understand that how you influence is really truly by understanding what makes the other person tick. What are the drivers behind this person on your team, or this whole entire team that you need to influence, or this particular customer, for example. But to be able to do that, you really need to go below the surface and, you know, understanding what makes them tick. And if I know what my interest is, then I'm better prepared to see that in others.
Absolutely. And then that often means knowing what makes you tick. And if I know what my interest is, then I'm better prepared to see the interests in others. But Bernadette, there are so many things that we can have talked about, and I'm sure we will continue to talk about afterwards. But thank you so much for sharing a very small part of your huge, huge series of interests, including a bit of shameless marketing of your book, I have to say. But that is fantastic to see. It's on order, by the way. I've read extracts from it, and that's enough for me to read the rest. Thank you so much, Bhavna, for joining us today on this podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bhavna. It's been very enjoyable, very fun. I like to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Surely the best way to influence is just through money, just through pay.
Now, I think that's the difference between influence, which starts with a genuine understanding of self and a desire to meet minds and hearts. And I think a lot of influencers basically deal with people who just want to be like somebody else. So they're being influenced because of a desire to be in with the crowd rather than the genuine. I think the difference, there's a big difference between influence and influencer. Well, I think anyway, I might be wrong.
No, you're right. And money is one of the ways. Why not? You know, when we do these leadership development workshops, we talk about intrinsic and extrinsic motivators, right? So when you want to motivate somebody to do something, in many ways you are trying to have that influence which will steer them in a certain direction. And there are these extrinsic motivations of money and positions and awards that you can use. However, that's not the only thing, and that's not enough. There are intrinsic motivators that these studies have found. And those intrinsic motivators are maybe, you know, values, speaking to their values of growth, learning, etc. The values of high achievers that I've worked with are typically my values too. And those are values of learning and growth and, you know, problem solution finding. So you can give them as much money, but if you're not going to give them challenging work, especially engineers, they will leave because they know that they have to stay relevant. And even if you give them more money, they may go join a startup that has a higher potential as opposed to all the money that they could have made. So it can be one of the motivators, but not the only one. And it's important to understand the difference also.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel people want to follow others because they don't feel comfortable following themselves.
You know, you couldn't be more right. In fact, in my book, in the influence chapter, when I talk about when you give away your power, which means you do diminish your influence. You do that when you're constantly following others because you're just not clear of who you are, right? So someone today says, oh, this is a good company. You say, okay, let me apply here. Somebody says, this is a great place. As opposed to taking that risk and saying, no, but this is what excites me. And yes, it might be a little hard for a few months or so. I may not make as much money right now, but I'm going to plow through it. And that's believing in yourself.
And that leads through to self-esteem. Everything comes back, I think, to self-esteem and fogginess. How can a leader get the team that they lead to accept their fogginess?
You know, I think this is one of the best questions, and it's a beautiful question. And the way to do this is to understand that leadership is when you have the ability to tweak your own behavior depending on the situation or the audience that you're facing. And to do it consciously, not automatically, like you're not responding. We haven't talked enough about emotions, but it's a very, very important aspect of leadership because it's our emotions that get triggered when we just respond. We have an automatic way of behaving, and then when these emotions are triggered, it leads to that. But in leadership, the fundamental thing is that you have to get a deeper understanding of your emotions. You have to learn how to process them and not suppress them, and do it in your quiet space. That's why, you know, you hear of these top leaders waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning, or getting up early, reflecting, self-reflecting, doing the work on themselves, doing their meditations, their workouts, so that they're ready with a clear mind to go tackle their way, make big, bold decisions, thousands of critical decisions in a day, lead different kinds of people. So if you want to invoke that frogginess within a person, you have to become less and less judgmental towards them. And ironically, the way to do that is to become less and less judgmental towards yourself. So I grew up in a family which, because I'm from the north, I'm a Punjabi, all the movie stars in Bollywood have the same last name, in fact, as main last name as mine, which is Kapoor. My family was very focused on looks and appearances. And I think I had this intellectual thing in me where I really wanted to prove myself in that area down the road or whatever. So it used to really bother me, and I formed a belief system that what's inside of you is more important than what's outside. And so I stopped trying very hard on that front. I mean, I was always interested in... Now I believe that everything is important, right? All of it is important. And I started judging people who were really into the outward beauty and not into the intellectuality, because somewhere within me, I had kind of formed that system. Once you start judging other people, I realized I was judging them because internally I was somewhere judging myself. And so once you overcome your own judgments and become accepting of all aspects of who you are, it is difficult to be that judgmental. And you stop doing that to other people. Now, if somebody comes in and I understand the value of being silly and being focused on beauty and not intellectual, you know, it takes all kinds to make this world. In fact, for innovation, creativity, you need different points of view. And when you work very hard, you want to let your hair down and be silly. You come back more charged up for your work. So judgment is the one that you have to stop and become aware of when you're being judgmental towards yourself and hence by extension towards others. Second, you know, when we talked about earlier, you need to start listening to people. There's so much wealth hidden inside in the words that people are using, and it actually gives you a very good indication of what's happening with them. So listening to them, asking questions, being genuinely curious about who they are, understanding, that's how you understand their frogginess, and that's how you build, like I said, you'll automatically build trust. When you build trust, they're willing to share more, they're willing to, even if it means I'm not happy, they're not scared to say that. And that's how then you understand them, you notice their strengths, you assign more, you give them more work, which they will do happily. But at the same time, when you understand where the areas of development are, in a safe, gentle, non-threatening way, encourage them to slowly push them to kind of grow. So you see what I mean?
Have you found it in the virtual world? Has that, is that achievable just as easily, or, you know, is most of your work, has it been in person or virtual? Is it, you notice no difference between the two?
I think building trust and all of that is not very difficult in the virtual versus in person if you do it correctly, if you know how to do it. Yes, it happens more naturally when you're meeting and spending so many hours together. But there are ways to do it in a virtual setup. So again, I do believe that it is a problem. If it's a problem, sit with it, then it's always going to be a problem. You are not going to be able to get around it. So I cannot answer that. If it's a problem for you, you need to figure out a way to get around that. Like, you can't say that that's a leadership attitude, to be honest. Acknowledge it's a problem, find methods. But if you just sit there and say it's a problem and brain things outside of you, you're not going to get very far, and do not consider yourself to be a leader.
I've got to say, I like that. In some ways, what you're saying is problems don't exist. My problems exist, and they exist for me. So the challenge of leadership is to, for me to find ways around my problems.
Yeah, fantastic. I need to make that like a ringtone or something.
Tell you what, I'll tell you, Babylon.
So they have a lot of women leadership programs. They want to empower women. Yes, the whole diversity aspect that there is, that is a problem. Pay is lower, opportunities are not as many, at least not as many for women, very deeply ingrained in our psyche. So even when we don't realize that we are actually being biased, we do get biased. I myself do that, right? It's so deeply ingrained over centuries. But a lot of these situations, I see that if you are going to, at the same time, there's a lot of opportunity now, right? There's a lot more programs, a lot of opportunity for women compared to a previous time. I gained from that as a woman engineer. I was sent to South Africa, and there is an ingrained bias. But if you sit around waiting, and that I've done my work, which I've seen often, if I do my work properly, work hard, diligently, I will get rewarded for it. Mm-mm, that's not going to work. You need to step up and claim your place. If you work hard and not getting rewarded, then maybe you need to... there's some aspect that you're not really thriving at, and that's why you're not getting promoted. Maybe you need to learn to speak up. Maybe you need to learn to network. You need to increase your visibility with your personal brand or whatever it is, right? So I think you have to step up and say, okay, this is a problem for me. How do I think about it differently? What can I do about it now?
And we come right back to influence. My first step, if I recognize the problem, is for me not to shout, but to influence my interest. Babna, we are out of time. And yet, if I may, can we talk again? Because there are so many other things that I'd love to be able to talk to you about.
That's all for today's episode of MDA Insights. At MDA Training, we take a unique approach to training and development. We don't just focus on the theory, we focus on real-world application of that theory. We work with our clients to understand their specific needs and design experiential training solutions to meet those needs. But it's not just about the training. We work with our clients to help them achieve measurable results and create real behavior change in the workplace. We hope you found this information valuable from our podcast today. If you did, please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. We'll be back next week with more insights and expert advice. Thanks for listening.